Hi, I'm Rob Brown, and I'm your host of this Accounting Influencers podcast. Every week, you get interviews and insights from leaders and influencers globally about growth, leadership, talent, succession, tech, performance, and those special things that make the good accountants and accounting firms great. Enjoy today's episode, and let's get started.
Welcome to the show. I'm thrilled to have with me today an old friend, Jeremy Clopton. Jeremy, good day to you.
Rob, good day. Good to see you.
Great to have you on the show, Jeremy. Back again. So you're doing some tremendous things there at the Upstream Academy. For people that haven't come across you guys, tell us a bit about what you do.
At Upstream Academy, our goal is to help firms get right on the bell curve, as we call it. So really becoming one of those high-performing firms that's not right in the middle of the pack. We've got a great profession, lots of really good firms, which means that the middle of that bell curve has got a lot of really good firms in it. And the goal is to really help firms get even further right and become those high-performing, exceptional firms that are out there in the industry.
Mm. Now, you've got a deep accounting forensic background, haven't you?
I do. Yeah, my degree is in accounting, and I got into forensics straight out of university. And actually, while I was in school, I even interned in the forensics practice with a firm, and then had 12 years in the forensics field with the firm, and have continued to be a faculty member with the Association of Certified Fraud Examiners since then.
Yeah, you're a self-confessed geek. We've got that on the record.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no denial there. Always have been, always will be.
And in the last podcast where you featured, we talked about technology and how that drives growth and all kinds of performance metrics in firms. Today, we're going to talk about analytics. So let's start with the definition, Jeremy, in your dictionary of life and business. What does analytics mean?
When I look at analytics, I define it as a process to identify trends, patterns, or anomalies within the data. So what are the outliers? What's unusual? What do we need to go look at a little bit further? And what I love about that definition, accounting firms have been doing this for a while. It's not like analytics is something brand new. We've looked at data, we've looked for trends, we've looked for patterns, we've looked for anomalies for decades, but now we're doing it at scale. We're using some of that technology to put some more horsepower behind it.
So when you talk about analytics in the context of an accounting firm, are you referring to the myriad of data points they have within an accounting firm and all the things that they measure because they're great at that? Or are you talking about the data within the client's company?
I think the answer is yes. I'm really talking about both.
Right.
Because most accounting firms have more data than clients do, for that matter. Mm. You know, as an industry, we track time very meticulously. Some firms I know go all the way down to the 5-minute increment. Some are a little bit more relaxed, if you'll call it that, and they track it in 15-minute increments. But if you think about that and the context of how many employees a firm might have, and over the course of a year, tracking it by client and those increments, we have so much data just about how we serve the clients. Then you add in so much of the other data around practice management, the billing, the collections, the business development, as you know really well. You know, how are prospects and clients interacting with emails? How are they interacting with our website? How are they interacting with our webinars and so many different things? You've got a ton of data there. You've then got, and there's an application of analytics. There's lots of patterns, relationships, trends that you want to find there. But then even when you look at the client's data themselves in the course of tax prep, in the course of an assurance engagement, in the course of a consulting engagement, you've got a lot of data there that where you can apply analytics. And then if you really think about it, you come back and you say, well, we've got all this data from all of our clients. What can we learn about how we serve our clients, how we can even do that better, which kind of gives it this hybrid third element there, which is kind of the client data, kind of our data, and how do we use that to make everybody better?
How much has the game of analytics changed over the years? Obviously, tech has driven some changes, but has analytics always been there as a study, or is it just recently?
It's been around a lot longer than people think.
Right.
A lot of times when we talk about analytics, the phrase big data is thrown around. Okay. And that's really kind of the impetus behind, oh, well, we have big data, we need analytics. That term was first coined back in the 80s. So the concept has been around a long time. I really strongly believe that firms have been doing this a lot longer than they would ever give themselves credit for. Maybe it predates the spreadsheet a little bit because we were looking for trends and patterns in the data. Now that's not the process that we're talking about here. You know, that was more paper-based review. When you think about it, Excel's been around in the profession a long time. And the way that it's been used has been looking for those trends, those patterns, those relationships over the years. Now, that has changed dramatically. When I started, Excel still had the old 65,000 row limitation. And I realize some listeners may say, well, I remember when it was even less than that. And that's totally fair. I get that. I mean, going from 65,000 to 1 million rows, that was a huge advancement. But I think that there was so much more advancement in how we could use even our basic tools for analytics. analytics, the pivot table, the Power Query, all the different elements there that just in the basic spreadsheet tool has completely changed how firms are using that from an analytics standpoint. I know that the really hardcore IT folks out there, especially if there's an IT department listening in, they're going to say, oh, I can't believe he just said Excel, because that's not the best solution. 100% agree. But I'll tell you what, it's a whole lot better than saying we don't have a solution, because everyone has a spreadsheet. Every firm can use those spreadsheet tools. And that's what it is. It's a tool, right? All the technology is a tool. Analytics is using a tool through this process to go find those patterns.
I remember back in the day, Jeremy, I was a high school math teacher. And before spreadsheets, I was telling my pupils how important knowing your times tables were, your multiplication tables. And I ran tests on them every week. Right, next week, we're going to do our 12 times table. So learn it up to 12 times 15. And I would put their scores down in a book. I'd put them down manually. And I ran analysis on that around mean, median, mode, standard deviation. And it was a very crude form of analytics, but I was doing it before spreadsheets. And there was so much data to play with even back then. So now it must be a paradise of data.
Oh, yeah. You just reminded me of, I was teaching a class on analytics for fraud detection and had a gentleman that was really a volunteer of the local chapter. He was helping out kind of with the logistics of the training, but he was attending the training. And the third day was a workshop. And I'll never forget, because he did exactly what you just described.
Right.
He goes, Jeremy, I retired 5-10 years ago. I think he was in his upper 70s. And he said, look, I don't have a computer for starters. I don't have a laptop. So I don't know where I'm going to find one on one day's notice. I don't want to go buy one. So he took the data and he wrote it down. And then he ran the same types of analyses using the calculator on his phone rather than doing it. And he still got to the same types of answers. Now, did he get there as quickly? Did he get there as in depth? No, because as what you just talked about, that paradise of data. Right? Now there is so much data available to us. And in a way, that's one of our biggest challenges with analytics, is that term that I threw out earlier of big data. It really intimidates a lot of accountants. And it's not just accountants, by the way. It's anyone across industries. It really intimidates them. But I'm a huge advocate for not really worrying about big data, but where's the relevant data? Because that's the only data that you need, is the relevant data. And now all of a sudden, we know how to analyze relevant data. We've done it for years, as you mentioned.
Sure. And you talked in the last podcast about the importance of asking a strategic question. It's no good having loads of data. What are we doing with it? What do we want from it? We've got loads of tools and tech to analyze it, but let's start with a good strategic question. How important is that for analysis?
I think it's absolutely critical, especially if you want to do an effective analysis. You take a tech geek, take me, for instance, or take one of my former colleagues that was on my analytics team, and you give them data and say, go find something in it. Okay, do you want me to have a day, a week, a month, or a year with this? Because I could probably fill however long you want, given the data size and whatever. You have to have a question. You have to have a purpose. You have to have an objective, essentially, that allows the individual doing the analysis to understand, why do I have this data? Why am I analyzing it? And ultimately, what are we trying to do with it? And it's that last piece there, Rob, that I think so many folks forget is, what am I trying to do with it? Because it's not creating another giant data table. We're really good at that as accountants. We like our data tables. We know our data tables. But as it turns out, it's because we're accountants. So many of our clients, they look at a data table and say, okay, and what? What does it mean? Why do I care?
And this is the problem that business analysts have had over the years, is making their findings relevant, telling the story through the data.
Yeah, and you just hit it. That's exactly what it is it's a story. And it's one of the big challenges that I've seen firms have when it comes to using analytics, is we're really good at analyzing data. It's just fact of the matter. That's something that accountants are trained to do, is to run analysis. We aren't necessarily great storytellers. I don't know about you, but when I went to university and I said, hey, I want to get into the accounting field, they didn't say, oh, you must be one of the creative storyteller types. That wasn't exactly the criteria they were looking for.
And you don't really want to put the word creative next to accountant, do you? That?
No, that doesn't typically end up well. That was typically where my forensics background came in, was those that were creative with accounting.
Yeah.
It comes down to telling a story, and how can you connect with that end user? And we've got a lot of different end users. We've got management, where we may be trying to help them as an advisor. We may have a board of directors. You may have a shareholder group. On the consulting side, it could go any direction. You know, in the forensic space, you could have one investigation or one project, and you might have, you know, four or five different audiences that needed a different story told. It was the same data. It was the same truth, but it was a different story. Management needs the story of, how did this happen? Why did this happen? How do we fix it?
Yeah.
An insurance company might need the story of, of, okay, what was the ultimate loss and who was at fault? A judge or a jury might need something a little bit different. Law enforcement. There are so many stories to be told out of the data that we do have to find creative types to help us with that. Yeah. I know my first hire was actually a marketing person, and not to do marketing, but to tell the story, because she was trained in storytelling through marketing.
Yeah. And I see two sides of this with the technology. One is technology has allowed us to collect more data, more data points, but it's also helped us to analyze that data very, very quickly and efficiently. And I'm a big chess fan. There was a recent game between Magnus Carlsen, the current world champion from Norway, and with a computer. And it was a 60 seconds, called a bullet game. You have 60 seconds to make all your moves. And Magnus Carlsen lost the game and took a ball. He lost on time. The computer took 2 seconds to make all of their moves. So they're just analyzing so much data and trends and positions and patterns and anomalies, like you're saying, but they do it so fast. So the technology's taken analytics into a whole new sphere, isn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And I think that's a great story to share, the one that you just did. And there was a TED Talk a few years back about a set of amateur chess players paired up with a computer, not a supercomputer, but a robust enough computer. And they went up against computers. They went up against grandmasters. And it was the amateur chess players with the moderate computers that took down the grandmasters, or it took down the supercomputers. And it's because they figured out how to harness that technology. How do you use it to really benefit?
So how can analytics be used in an accounting firm?
In an accounting firm, you can use analytics to improve your firm processes. To me, that is probably the most impactful from firm improvement standpoint. You can use it to improve practice management, analyzing your processes, not just simply looking at results in a technology, in a dashboard or something. I've seen too many firms take that approach, but actually looking at the process and identifying the weakness in the process so you can improve it.
Can you give us an example of a process, Jeremy?
To me, the biggest one is billing and collection. So many firms struggle with that. And it's, how do we get our partners, our principals, shareholders to bill everything that they should bill? Do they bill enough, as much as they should? Are they writing off too much? So where do we see that? What is the time lag between service performance and billing? Do we have someone that's waiting too long and therefore we have a write-off because that perception of value is now diminished over time? What about the collection? Do we have partners that struggle to get cash back through the door? Because at the end of the day, the payment is really the key. If you don't get the payment, and there's not really that revenue. So you can analyze that process across the board. What a lot of firms are predisposed to do is to really just look at and say, okay, well, what's our AR over whatever, 90, 60, 120, whatever they want their number to be. What's our outstanding AR and is it okay? What is our outstanding WIP and is it okay? Those are results. But if we get back into those processes of actually doing the billing, the timeliness of the billing, the timeliness of the collection, the pursuit of that collection, now all of a sudden we understand where the process is weak and we can actually improve the results. If we just look at the results, we never get improvement. That would be one example. For many firms, it's becoming a new service line, Rob. They're looking at it and saying it's either going to be a standalone service where they're going to offer analytics almost as a service, or it's going to be an integrated service where they have an analytics team that now empowers so many of their different consulting lines, so many of their different advisory lines to help them do what they do better. The other approach is it's improving the efficiency and the effectiveness of the assurance process and audits, reviews, compilations, the tax prep side, tax advisory. It's helping provide them better insight than client service. There's a lot of opportunity out there. And I think one of the big challenges for firms is where do they want to start?
Well, let's ask that question. If firms listening, accountants listening, they're not geeking out, but they recognize the value of analytics, where would they get started?
My preference has always been on the revenue generating side. And that's because so often when you have a change initiative in a firm, for using new technology, using analytics, it's something new, it's change. The question is always, what's our return? How does this benefit the firm tangibly? Something that generates revenue is going to be easier to quantify. And then you can always take what you learn from serving your clients, and then you can apply that to the firm, or you can apply that to the audit or the tax side or whatever. If you don't start on the revenue generating side, I would advocate the practice management side. How can you help your firm get better? And I recently talked to a firm that has done this and talked with their managing partner. They've done some amazing things that their firm to improve their internal processes. And he said, now we're trying to figure out how to take it to clients. I said, you have got the best possible position because what you're selling your clients is how you run your firm. So when somebody says, why should I believe you? You can say, well, call our managing partner, call every partner in the firm. They use the same solution we're marketing. We're trying to get you to use. We use it to run our firm. So we're completely bought in. That's such a strong position from a business development standpoint is we're using what we're selling. So what a great place to be.
Yeah. We were interviewing your colleague, Sam Aldred from Upstream, in an excellent interview around developing skills in an accounting firm. And we hinted a little bit at the dashboard word, but KPIs and metrics, it's all very well giving people goals and targets, but we also need some rationale behind how do we reach that goal or improve the rate at which we get to that goal, right?
Yeah, definitely. And that's where measuring the process, I think, comes in so helpful. If you don't know how you're getting to your KPI or your metric or your result, it's really hard to ever get there, especially if you've got to make a change or improve in some way. If somebody just keeps telling you, you're not hitting your target, you're not hitting your target, you're not hitting your target, at some point I have to say, why?
Yeah.
That's a really important question. And when it comes to that, the why is the process. The process is how you ultimately get to a target. So if we can use the data to better understand the process, ideally we eventually get a better outcome.
So who should be handling the data in an accounting firm? Is it the geeks and the IT people, or should the fee earners, the accountants partners themselves be up to speed with this stuff?
I don't know that we have to restrict who is doing the analysis or using the output. It probably makes sense to get the analysts going first. There is a way that you can design it to where you almost have a bit of a self-serve type of model. So the analysts build the robust solution and they build in enough interactivity that if a partner or shareholder has a question, they can go into that solution, find the answer to the first question. And then ultimately, if they have that second or that third level question, they have the ability to get a little bit deeper. I don't think everybody in a firm needs to know how to build a dashboard. I don't think everybody in a firm needs to be an analytics expert.
Yeah.
I think you need to have a team that's an expert that does the complex work. And then I think you need to have an awareness and a base level of education around the firm as to how to then use those solutions.
Yeah. And when you talk about the client facing stuff, it's not enough, is it, to give the clients the data or even the results of the analysis. We're in the world of true advisory now, aren't we? You've got to do something with that for them.
Yeah, you do. And I'll give you two quick examples of that. I had one example, it was probably 18 months into my career and really big analytics project for a major bank, probably analyzed 200,000, 300,000 loans and lots of, you know, information about those loans. I've never been so proud of a report, Rob. I mean, it was a thing of data beauty.
So your magnum opus, as they call it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was, we printed it in color, and this was back when, you know, people didn't print a whole lot in color. So we printed it in color. We bound it. It was probably, I kid you not, I realize people can't see this. It was probably 2 inches thick. We shipped it off because this was before Zoom. So we shipped it off to the client. We scheduled the conference call. We got on there and I said, I'd love to walk you through this. And they said, Jeremy, you've got 65 pages of exhibits. That's great, but that's our data. What's important?
Ouch.
And I remember, yeah. Oh yeah. Because I was so proud of that. And I remember thinking, well, there's 65 pages of important right there, printed in color. I mean, it was beautiful.
It's a word of art.
It really was. I was so proud of it. At the same time, it was such a big aha moment. It made me realize 65 pages of data is exactly what that is. That was their data. It was organized and sorted and color-coded in a different way, but it didn't communicate the key message of why should we care? What is important out of this? What do we now need to do as a result? I had a gentleman that attended a class and he created a dashboard for his company. He was on the fraud side, big global company. And he said, Jeremy, nobody uses my dashboards. Can you tell me why? Well, I don't know that I can diagnose it right on the spot, but let's pull it up after class and we'll look at it. He pulled it up and the dashboard was 47 pages long. I said, before we go any farther, I can tell you, you are doing exactly what I had done early in my career. You are giving them all of the data that they could possibly ever want, but you're not giving any direction at all. And it's amazing how important that direction is. For any accountants that are struggling with it, I'll give you a book recommendation, Data Story. It's by Nancy Duarte. It does such a nice job of laying it out and just saying, look, here's how you communicate with executives around data specifically. And it goes back to what you mentioned earlier. It's how do you tell the story? It's such an important lesson.
This is terrific, Jeremy. You work with firms all over the world on stuff like this. If people want to reach you, have a conversation about this stuff, and I don't know anyone else talking about it, so this is great. What's a good way for them to reach you?
They can find us at upstreamacademy.com. jeremyc@upstreamacademy.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, and they could also email me, jeremyc@upstreamacademy.com, and I'd welcome any conversation. Love talking to firms about this.
Yeah, definitely. And leave us with you with some words of encouragement, if you like, for the leaders, the decision makers in accounting firms that want to drive a more analytical agenda in their firm. Perhaps they're getting some pushback from other stakeholders, people lower down the food chain, if you like, to say, look, we've already got too much data. I've already got too much going on. I'm already too busy. This is not important. What would you say to them?
I'd encourage them to go find a problem that they're trying to solve and solve it. Just take action. Don't try to convince people of the need for action. Get the data, solve the problem, drive a solution, and simply demonstrate the effectiveness of analytics. To me, that is the easiest, most effective way to get people on board, is go solve a problem for them, and they'll be there singing your praises.
Yeah, because then you got them bought into it, haven't you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, Jeremy Clopton, that's been fantastic. Thank you so much for your time today.
Rob, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world-class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.